The shift towards more pathways to success must be underpinned by a strong and dynamic economy. And to be clear, economic growth is not about chasing GDP. It's about uplifting lives and creating a wide range of jobs and opportunities for all Singaporeans. So we will redouble our efforts to keep our economy competitive and vibrant. This is even more urgent in an increasingly fragmented global economy with more barriers to trade. And that's why the Singapore Economic Resilience Task Force and the Economic Strategy Review Committee are studying how Singapore can navigate the challenges that have come thick and fast in the past few months. For the last 60 years, multinational enterprises have been a key driver of our economy. They remain critical anchors in sectors like electronics, pharmaceuticals, and finance. And we have to keep attracting new investments from leading global companies so that Singapore can stay plugged into the frontiers of innovation. At the same time, we must work harder to energize our enterprise ecosystem. We want to make Singapore a more attractive place for startups and emerging companies, be it here or overseas. So these can be homegrown firms looking to venture abroad or overseas growth companies seeking a base in Asia. These are the companies that will shape our future success. And to do this well, we will need a different approach because not all enterprises will succeed. Some will fail and fail spectacularly. When they do, there will inevitably be calls for the government to step in. I'm sure from both sides of the House, from the Workers' Party and the PAP, asking the government to do more. And perhaps from time to time we will, but if we try too hard to shield every company, we risk ending up with more zombie firms, propped up artificially, stifling renewal and enterprise dynamism. And that's not the path we want to take. So we must be prepared for more churn. And we should not only celebrate success stories, but also learn to embrace failures and setbacks. Because it's only through constant experimentation that more innovative companies can emerge. The process will be uncomfortable, even unsettling, but it is necessary to create new value and ultimately to create new and better jobs for Singaporeans. So let me be clear, our focus must always be on the worker, not the job. Companies may fail, jobs may disappear, but every worker matters, every citizen matters, and no one will be left behind. In this fast-changing world with greater churn, we also need to offer Singaporeans sufficient assurances so they can deal with the disruptions with a greater sense of confidence and security. And that means making sure that their essential needs are taken care of. Quality education, healthcare, and housing, for example, must remain accessible and affordable. Housing was one of the biggest concerns in the last term because COVID disrupted construction and the supply of new homes. But since then, we have ramped up supply. Today, there's a healthy pipeline of new BTO flats, as well as land for new private properties. There are still concerns around housing, but I am confident the situation will steadily improve with the additional supply. So we will not only catch up with demand, but build ahead of it, so that there will be more BTOs with shorter waiting times, and we will be able to give Singaporeans greater assurance when planning for their homes. At the same time, we must update our system to reflect demographic changes, especially increased lifespans. I spoke about healthcare at the National Day rally, and we will have lots to do in this area through Healthier SG, HWell SG, and HWell neighbourhoods. In this term, we will also take steps to strengthen retirement adequacy. We are studying what further moves we can make. In particular, we want to help Singaporeans save more during their working lives, so that they have enough to meet their basic retirement needs for life, for a longer life. And for those who, despite their best efforts, cannot build up a sufficient nest egg, we will provide additional support so that every Singaporean can retire with dignity. We will also continue to strengthen our safety nets for those who need more help. For children with special needs, we will provide more support in their education and help make their transition to adulthood and work smoother. For people with disabilities, we will give them more opportunities to pursue their aspirations and lead fulfilling lives. For those who encounter setbacks, we will help them get back on their feet, because setbacks are part of life. And in Singapore, everyone is due second and third chances. That's why we introduced programs like the SkillsFuture Job Seeker Support Scheme. It has just started, but we will make this a far better scheme than the unemployment insurance found elsewhere. All of these measures are helping to bring down income inequality in Singapore. Our Gini coefficient is now at its lowest in more than two decades. Previously, the Gini was measured only on income from work. DOS, the Department of Statistics, has since updated the measure to include income from all other sources, like rental and investments. The full data will be published soon, but I'll share the headline findings with this House first. The revised Gini coefficient comes out slightly higher. We're talking 0.38 as compared to 0.36 after taxes and transfers. We had expected this, but what matters more is the trend. Even with the revised measure, the Gini continues to move downward. So inequality in Singapore is narrowing, and we are determined to keep it that way. We have ways to mitigate wealth inequality in Singapore. A large share of household wealth here is tied up in property. So we have taxes on property, progressive taxes on property, and stamp duties on property transactions to ensure those with more contribute more. But it's not just on the tax side. We also have transfers, wealth transfers for those with less, through public housing to help lower-income families own their homes, through regular top-ups to CPF accounts, and through new initiatives like the ITE Progression Award, which gives a head start to ITE graduates who complete their diplomas. So taken together, our measures are helping to narrow both income and wealth inequality. And we will press on and continue to innovate in our social policies so that at every stage of life, Singaporeans feel assured, supported, and confident about the future, so that opportunities and progress will always be fairly shared across our society.